For years, Gaskin's cabin had leaned to one side, away from the prevailing winds. Logs had been propped at an angle against it to keep it from falling over. Trash and debris littered the premises around it. Gaskin sat on a bench in the shade at the front of the cabin, a jug within easy reach on the ground. He was rail thin, his skin sallow. His ragged beard was mostly gray, laced with rusty streaks left by tobacco juice dribbling down his chin. Rusty climbed down from the wagon. Gaskin squinted bleary eyes in an effort to bring Rusty into focus.
What the hell you doing here? I ran you off this place, didn't I?
You've never run me any place that I didn't want to go. I believe you got some tools that belong to me?
No such a thing. Ain't nothing of yours here. You got no cause to come accusing me. I'll sick my dogs on you.
Gaskin's two dogs had slunk away at the wagon's approach. They had much in common with their master. Rusty didn't wait to hear any more of Gaskin's protests. He walked out to a half-collapsed shed and began to dig through tools and implements piled there in a heap. He found his fro and mallet. They bore the initials RS, which he had burned into the wooden handles with a steel rod heated to a red glow. He also found his timber saw and a sledgehammer that belonged to him. He carried them back and placed them in the bed of the wagon.
You got no right to carry a man's tools away. I'm liable to need them.
Not unless you can get somebody else to use them for you. It's too bad you don't have four hands, Fowler. You could steal twice as much.
Gaskin stood up, bracing one hand against his cabin. Rusty thought it was a toss-up as to which might fall first.
You come on my land, you steal my tools, then you insult me to my face. If I wasn't old and sick, I'd whoop you good and proper.
Speaking of being old, you've been playing on Shanty's sympathy, when the truth is that you're younger and stronger than he is. I'm telling you, stop it or else.
Or else what? You gonna hit a poor old man?
Oh, I might. I sure as hell might. Yeah.
He climbed into the wagon and set the team into motion. Gaskin followed in short, shaky steps, shaking his fist. Gaskin had only a small field for planting required work. But his corn stood tall, the stalks rustling in the wind. A hail did not seem to have touched him. Rusty looked up at the sky.
Lord, next time you send us a storm, I hope you have a better sense of direction.
After a few days' work chopping trees and splitting shingles down by the river, Rusty had a good supply of new shingles stacked behind his cabin. He was on the roof, removing damaged ones, when he saw a wagon and several riders approaching on horseback. He recognized Shanty on his mule. Tom Blessing loped ahead, one of his brothers spurring along behind.
Got a bunch of your neighbors here. We can't do anything about the crop you lost, but we've come to help you put your roofs back on.
Rusty's dark mood lifted. It was a custom in rural Texas communities that neighbors worked together. If a man was sick or hurt, his friends came to do whatever work was necessary. If hard luck befell him, the neighbors pitched in to set things as nearly right as possible. No one could guess when his own time might come. Rusty climbed down the ladder and walked out to greet the visitors, shaking hands with each in his turn. Blessing smiled broadly.
You need some good news after all that's happened to you. I saw Andy. He'll be by to visit you in a few days.
Well, that is good news. His arm wasn't broke, was it? He's written me just one letter since he's been in the Rangers and took up only half a page.
He looked healthy to me. Him and Farley Brackett delivered a prisoner to me, and had another they were fixing to take a little farther. Said he'd see you before he heads back to the Ranger camp.
He was with Farley Brackett?
I know him and Farley don't jee-haw too good, but I suppose he had no choice. A young man needs to learn how to take orders, so he'll know how to give them when his time comes.
Farley wakes up every morning with a dark cloud over his head, and he's got a wild hair in him that pops out every now and then.
Andy can think for himself. It's good for him to learn how to get along with all kinds of people, even somebody like Farley.
Two women approached Rusty. The older of the pair was Tom Blessing's wife. Rusty had to look a second time before he realized the other was Bethel Brackett, Farley Brackett's sister.
Bethel and me are going to fix dinner for the working crew. Mind helping us carry some victuals into your kitchen? Looks to me like you need a good square meal.
Been living on my own cooking, such as it is.
What you need here is a woman. Oh, I'm sorry, Rusty. I wasn't thinking.
It's been a while since I lost Josie. I think I've pretty well got over it.
He had not. He didn't know if he ever would. He turned toward Bethel. He remembered that Andy had shown a considerable interest in her once. Rusty had long wondered how a girl so pleasant-looking could have a brother like Farley. If he didn't know her mother to be a woman of stern moral standards, he might wonder if the two had different fathers.
Welcome, Bethel. Been a long time since that day you came here with your daddy, bringing me a sorrel horse.
The horse you gave to Andy. Have you heard anything from Andy lately?
Andy's not much for writing letters.
So I've noticed.
He suspected the sheriff had not told her Andy was due soon for a short visit. That meant she probably didn't know Farley was with him. Perhaps Blessing had a good reason for not telling her. It might be that Farley had said he didn't plan to visit his mother and sister. In that case, it was just as well they didn't know. Farley had caused them pain enough over the years.
Rusty, where may I put this down?
The kitchen, ma'am. This way.
Mrs. Blessing followed Rusty into the kitchen with a sack of flour. She looked back to be sure the girl was not within hearing.
Bethel has turned into a right pretty young lady, don't you think?
Oh, but too young for me, and I'm sure I'm too old to interest her. She's more Andy's age.
But Andy's not here. You are.
I'm just not ready to be thinking in that direction.
If not Bethel, then how about Alice Monahan? Alice is a sweet girl. She was a godsend to me when I was sick for so long. And she is a sister to Josie. Or was.
I thought I might marry her sister Geneva, but I went away. She met and married someone else. Then Josie was killed. Looks like the Lord intends for me to be an old bachelor.
It's not for us to say what the Lord intends. But I can't believe he wants you to spend your life alone.
Tom walked in just then, to Rusty's intense relief.
Rusty, let's get started on that roof.
Sure thing, Tom. Pardon, ma'am.
Rusty led the way outside, and both he and Tom climbed the ladder up to the roof. Rusty handed Tom a claw hammer, and the two started ripping off broken shingles.
Oh, thanks. You came in at just the right time.
I know. When my wife takes a notion about something, she's like a cold-jawed horse. There's no turning her back. I just let her play it out to the end of the string. But you know, she's right. That hail didn't leave you much reason to stay around here till planting time comes again. If I was you, I'd take a ride up to the Monahan farm. Alice might surprise you.
I'm not looking for surprises, unless you can surprise me with a good job.
I've asked around. Haven't found anything.
It's liable to be a long fall and winter.
The trip had not made Jace Landon any less of a puzzle to Andy. In comparison to Bransford, who had been left in Tom Blessing's custody, Landon still looked as if he might be a preacher, or at least a law-abiding storekeeper. But Andy had a sore place on the back of his head from Landon's attack. And Landon had laid in wait to shoot a man. Bransford had never done that, so far as Andy knew. Farley eyed Andy.
Don't waste sympathy on him. He's got blood on his hands.
How about the state policeman you killed?
They was looking at me. They could have shot me as easy as I shot them.
They ever keep you awake at night?
It is dead. They don't come back. What's this coming?
Andy did not like the look of five horsemen riding to meet them from the direction of Hopper's Crossing. He tensed, and again he wished Rusty Shannon were there.
What do you think, Farley?
I think, damn it. Take a good look at them, Jace. Are they friends of yours or enemies?
Farley reached across to recheck Landon's handcuffs and the rawhide strip that bound them to the saddle horn. For the first time since the trip began, a smile creased Landon's face.
Some of my kin and a couple of my neighbors. They won't like it, seeing me shackled like a runaway slave.
They'll like it even less if they try to turn you loose, because I'll shoot you dead. Badger boy, better draw your weapon.
Andy drew his rifle. 30 feet from the approaching horseman, Farley stopped. He placed the muzzle of his pistol behind Landon's ear.
You men had better put aside any foolish notions. The only way you'll get this prisoner away from us is if he's dead. Some of you will ride to perdition with him.
Andy's mouth went dry as he tried to read the men's intentions. One rider pushed his horse a little past the others. His facial features resembled Jace's so much that Andy guessed they might be brothers. Dick Landon must have come from a large family.
Now, Ranger, we just come to make sure he gets to town alive. The Hoppers would like to see that he don't.
And they'll have their way if you make a move to help him. I want all of you to turn around and ride out ahead of us. Way ahead of us.
Farley cocked back the hammer. Jace froze. Andy held his breath.
Y'all better do what he says, Walder. This Ranger is one mean son of a bitch.
All right, Jace. Don't let your finger get nervous, Ranger. If something happens to Jace, you'll be dead 2 seconds after he is.
Andy sensed that whatever intentions the five might have had been thwarted by Farley's unyielding stand. They weren't likely to try anything unless circumstances changed drastically in their favor.
Take a lesson from this, Badger Boy. Never give an inch, or they'll overrun you.
You'd really have shot him, wouldn't you?
If it was the last thing I ever did.
Sweat rolled down Jace's face. He trembled in fear's aftermath.
God, Ranger, but you're cold-blooded.
I am. Don't you forget it.
You don't know what kind of a man I shot.
Makes no difference. Me and Badger Boy are paid to deliver you to the local sheriff. The rest is up to the jury that tries you.
The judge is old Judd Hopper. He's a direct grandson of the devil himself. Him and the rest of them Hoppers will do all they can to see me hung.
You got a brother who's a ranger, and you got one who's a lawyer.
This fight goes way back. Why can't the law stand aside and let the families work it out for themselves?
I know how crazy mean these feuds can get. You kill an enemy, then one of his family's got to kill one of you. Goes on and on till just about everybody's dead. Better for the law to hang you instead of one of your enemies shooting you. Maybe that'll put an end to it.
It won't end till the Hopper bunch is all dead and gone.
I'll bet you don't even remember what started it.
It started over an election for the county seat. But that don't matter anymore. It's a blood thing now.
No use arguing with him, Andy. Can't talk sense to people like that.
It's a good thing for Dick Landon that he joined the Rangers and got away from the trouble.
Even Dick'll bear watching. He's got bad blood in him.
If you think the Landon blood is bad, wait till you meet the Hoppers.
Hearing hoofbeats behind him, Andy turned in the saddle. He counted 6 riders.
Who were they, Jace?
They're Hoppers. Hoppers and their kin.
5 Landons in front, 6 Hoppers behind, and us in the middle.
Best thing would be for us to pull out of the way and let them settle their stupid feud for good.
Andy considered the situation, then moved his horse toward the 6 men.
What do you think you're doing?
Andy laid his rifle across his lap and rode almost within touching distance of the horseman.
Which one of you is in charge of this bunch?
A big bear of a man with a short curly beard gave Andy a scathing glance.
Ain't nobody in charge. We're working together to see justice done.
And your name?
I'm James Hopper. Biggin, they call me.
He looked strong enough to wrestle a bull to the ground from a standing start. He was half a head taller and 50 pounds heavier than any of the men who rode with him. Andy swung the rifle muzzle around to point at the man's belly. He jerked his head.
Come on, Biggin. You're riding up there with us. The rest of you stay back. If one of you makes a move against us and our prisoner, I'll blow this gentleman's lamp out.
I'll have you know that I'm a deputy sheriff appointed by the county judge himself. Now, what gives you the right to tell me what to do?
This rifle does. Are you coming or do I shoot you right here?
I'm coming. The rest you better do like he says.
One of the riders was a smaller man but had the same facial features as Biggin. He sneered.
He's bluffing. Say the word and we'll take him.
Shut up, Harp. We don't need no blood spilled here. Not mine, anyway.
Andy and Biggin turned their horses and moved toward Farley and Jace.
You look kind of young to pack so much authority.
A gun makes everybody the same size.
Farley looked the deputy over, then turned critical eyes on Andy.
What'd you bring him for?
For insurance.
You think you could really kill him if you had to?
You said to never give them an inch.
Farley almost nodded in approval, but caught himself.
Looking at you right now, I'd swear you're Comanche after all.
Andy took that as a left-handed compliment, the only kind Farley Brackett gave. Jace's face hardened, displaying his hatred of the bearded man.
Well, Biggin, looks like they got you, same as they got me.
Not quite the same. They'll turn me loose when we get to town. They're already stacking lumber over by the jailhouse to build your scaffold.
I got half a mind to cut you two coyotes loose and let you go at one another. Probably some fool law against it. So both of you shut the hell up.
A mile from town, they were met by the county sheriff. Jason's supporters pulled to one side, but didn't leave. The hoppers started to move up, but Andy made a show of pressing the rifle's muzzle against Biggin's midsection. That stopped them.
God damn it, Ranger! You gotta bruise my ribs!
A middle-aged man with gray hair and a slight paunch, the sheriff reacted sharply at the sight of Biggin being held at gunpoint.
What do you think you're doing with my deputy?
He was fixing to get himself in trouble. We're protecting him.
Damn it, Biggin, I told you to stay home and keep all the hoppers there, too.
We just come to make sure none of Jace's kinfolks let him loose.
That's my job.
The lawman turned back to the Rangers, making no secret of his antagonism toward Jace Landon.
Thank you, Rangers, for delivering this murderer. I'll take over from here.
Our orders are to deliver him safe to your jailhouse. Till then, he's still ours.
Andy watched the Ranger and the sheriff glare at each other. He knew Farley would stand his ground if it took all afternoon. The sheriff evidently came to the same conclusion.
All right. Another mile won't make much difference.
Trial is going to cost us taxpayers money. There's a good stout tree yonder. I say we drag Jace over there and hoist him like a fresh beef.
Shut up, Biggin. The judge crowded me into taking you and Harp as deputies, but I don't have to listen to you talk like a damn fool. All right, Rangers. Jace is still yours till we get him to the jail. Let's go before some idiot takes a notion to show how stupid he is.
The whole bunch of them headed toward town, where a crowd had gathered to watch Jace being brought in. Andy had never seen so many angry people. Some supported Jace, but it appeared that the majority were hostile to him. A couple of fistfights broke out as the horsemen approached the jailhouse door.
Keep a close watch, Badge Boy. Ain't no telling what some hothead might do.
Farley dismounted and cut the leather thong that bound Jace's hands to the saddle horn, but the cuffs remained on the prisoner's wrists. Jace slowly slid from the saddle and landed on his feet. Andy stayed in the saddle, holding the rifle in a firm grip. Biggin slipped away from him and rejoined the five who had ridden behind. The sheriff opened the front door of the jailhouse, but stood in the middle, blocking it for what seemed to be several minutes, giving somebody a good chance to shoot Jace, Andy thought. He studied the people with anxious eyes. The long road to justice had many a shortcut. Farley took a firm grip on Jace's arm and led him through the doorway, past the sheriff. This time, Jace showed no resistance. Instead, he seemed in a hurry to get inside, away from the crowd. Andy dismounted and followed, walking backward, the rifle ready.
Badger boy, would you mind fetching my saddlebags?
Andy couldn't remember that Farley had ever asked him to do anything. He'd always just told him. A woman burst through the door and ran to the prisoner, her arms outstretched.
Jace!
The sheriff tried to restrain her, but she was strong enough to break free. She embraced Jace, flailing a bit with her crying. Andy sensed that she was making a show of it. After letting her cry for a bit, Jace's brother Walter pulled her away.
Come on, Flora. You oughtn't act like that in front of these hoppers. They've had too much satisfaction already, just seeing him brought in.
Let me go, Walter! As for you, Oscar Truscott, you may be sheriff, but my Jace is a better man than you. All he done was kill a man that needed killing. There's a whole bunch of you hoppers needs killing.
She seemed to concentrate particularly on Biggin. Andy thought he saw a look of satisfaction in her eyes as Walter Landon led her outside. He wondered about it. Farley withdrew some papers from the saddlebags Andy had brought. He handed them to Sheriff Truscott.
Me and Pickett have done what the captain ordered. Jace belongs to you, but you'll need to sign this release.
Truscott signed with a flourish, smudging a little ink.
It'll be like having a box of dynamite in here, but I'm glad to have him. I hope the trial don't take long.
It won't. Not with Uncle Judd on the bench.
Truscott frowned at Biggin's comment as the deputy slammed shut the iron jailhouse door. The sound made Andy feel cold, even though he was not the one being locked away.
There's lots of people out yonder that would like to do the prisoner harm.
You don't have to tell me my business, Brackett. You Rangers have done your job. I expect you'll want to be heading west and put some miles behind you before dark.
Our horses need a rest. We'll bed down at the wagon yard and make a fresh start in the morning.
Suit yourself. There's a fair to middling eating joint down the street yonder, run by one of my wife's nephews. Nothing fancy, but it's cheap.
Sounds fine to me. Come on, Andy. Let's go see to our horses.
As the two rangers walked away from the jail, leading their horses, Andy's scalp tingled as if an electrical storm was building. It would take but little to set off a riot. The fight would be one-sided, for the Hopper crowd appeared to outnumber the Landons by a considerable margin.
Don't look to the left nor the right. Just walk straight ahead. This don't concern us anymore.
Jace won't get a fair trial in this town.
Don't matter. Even a fair trial would end up hanging him. He's guilty of sin. Would have been better for him if he'd made a break along the way. We would have shot him and be already over with. Now he'll sit in that jail cell brooding about it. He'll die a thousand times before he ever feels the rope.
Doesn't it bother you that we brought Dick Landon's brother here to die?
Jace put the rope around his own neck when he took aim on Ned Hopper. He tripped the trap door when he walked up and shot him a second time. Wasn't none of my doing, nor yours.
They made it to the yard where they were met by the stable keeper. He was a small man with a flushed face that indicated he was a favored customer at some bar up the street.
You are the rangers that brought Jace in, ain't you? Bet you didn't know what a hornet's nest you was fixing to stir up. Soon as it gets dark and some of the hoppers get enough liquor in them, you'll see the biggest fireworks we've had around here since the Yankee War.
It's nothing to us. We just want to get some sleep and head out in the morning.
Well, may not be much sleeping done in this town tonight. Me? I ain't taking sides. Their money all looks the same to me. I'll still be here when it's over.
It's a smart man who knows how to mind his own business.
But ain't you rangers supposed to keep the peace? Looks to me like you'd be out there amongst them, holding the lid down.
Our orders were to deliver Jace to the sheriff. From now on, it's up to him and the court.
Well, the sheriff's married to a hopper. He's got some in-laws he ain't real fond of, like Biggin and the judge. But they come with the deal.
It's a cinch there won't be anything fair about Jace's trial.
The stable man looked around to see if anyone else could hear, and then leaned in close.
Ain't gonna be no trial. Talk is that they're gonna stage a fight and draw the sheriff away after dark. The jailer is a hopper cousin. When his kinfolks come calling, they won't have to tell him twice to raise his hands.
They're going to take Jace out and hang him?
No. They'll shoot him right there in his cell and scatter before the sheriff or the Landons have time to do anything about it.
You sure about this?
I got it from one of the hopper boys. He was already tanked up on Kentucky courage.
We gotta do something, Farley.
What's the use? They'll just keep trying till they get him. Feud's a nasty business.
Farley handed the reins of his horse to the stable man and grabbed Andy's from him and handed them over too. The man led the horses into the stable and started unsaddling them and getting them bedded down. Under Farley's grim eye, Andy got his bedding together, and the two rangers forked dry hay onto the ground, spread it evenly, then unrolled their blankets on it.
Farley.
Best thing is to let the damn fools fight it out. And we can hang the winners or send them to the penitentiary.
I'll bet that's not in the captain's rule book.
The book has got blank pages in it, so we can write our own rules when we have to.
I didn't make this ride just to stand back and watch them lynch our prisoner.
Andy drew his rifle from its scabbard on his saddle and dug into the saddlebags for extra cartridges. Farley gripped Andy's shoulder tightly enough to hurt.
They'll cut you to ribbons, and for what? Jace is gonna die anyway. If he doesn't do it tonight, he'll do it when the trial's over. Leave it alone.
I can't.
Listen to me, Badger boy. Even if you are half Indian, you're worth more than Jace Landon.
Like the man said, we're supposed to keep the peace.
Ain't gonna be peace in this town till they kill enough of one another that they gag on the blood. You best look out for your own skin.
What'll the captain say if we tell him we delivered Jace and then stood by while a mob shot him to pieces?
Andy pulled his shoulder free and walked back out of the stable yard into the darkness. The jail was a little more than a block away. He had a strong feeling of being watched, but he could see no one. Andy heard a horse somewhere behind the buildings moving in a slow lope. He pondered whether he should go inside the jail or wait for the hoppers in front of it. He had heard of mobs burning a jail to get a prisoner. In such an event, he could do little from inside. Besides, the jailer was in on the deal. He would probably do whatever he could to put Andy out of the way. He decided to take a stand outside, blocking the door. The street remained quiet for a while. Andy began to wonder if the hostler's information was overblown. People sometimes made bold talk but didn't have the stomach to follow through. Then he saw several men moving up the street toward him. He tightened his grip on the rifle. Though he could not distinguish the rearmost faces, he sensed that these were all of the Hopper clan, and he knew the man in the lead, who walked right up to the edge of the porch.
That's close enough.
You step out of the way, Ranger.
I'm telling you to disperse, Biggin.
The men moved closer but stopped when Andy leveled his rifle on them.
You got no jurisdiction here. You finished your job when you brought Jace in.
Andy's throat was too tight for a reply. He hoped silence was more threatening than anything might say. Several more men came up the street, joining them. By Andy's rough count, there were 15, perhaps more. One man edged beyond Biggin and the others.
You're just a shirt tail kid! You won't really shoot us!
He paused a moment, gauging Andy's reaction, then moved forward again with confidence in his step. Andy aimed the rifle, but he couldn't bring himself to squeeze the trigger. The blood rose warm in his face. He sensed a movement on the street. A man went down, gripping his leg.
Next shot goes in somebody's gullet.
Farley's shot kicked up dust in front of the mob. Relief flooded through Andy. Farley walked up and joined him in front of the door. His stern gaze never left the Hoppers as he leaned close to Andy's ear.
The graveyards are full of people who wouldn't pull the trigger.
I tried, I just couldn't.
The wounded man lay on his back, gripping his bleeding leg.
Oh, God! Help! He's killed me!
Listen to that brave sumbitch squealing like a pig stuck under a gate.
You're protecting a murderer.
He ain't been tried yet, Biggin.
We came here to give him all the trial he needs.
If they rush us, shoot the foremost. That'd be the one called Biggin. That doesn't stop him, shoot another.
You do that for Jace Landon?
No, for us. Right this minute, we're in worse danger than he is.
You Rangers can't stay here forever. We can wait.
You'll have to. Now y'all better scatter, because in 1 minute I'm gonna shoot every man I can see.
Farley held up his watch so he could read it in the moonlight. The men lingered a little, then began to peel away. Soon all had retreated beyond sight, carrying their wounded man with them.
You have to talk to people in a way they understand, and be ready to back up what you tell them. Remember that, and you'll live long.
You were really set to kill somebody.
I would, if there'd been a brave man amongst them. But after one shot, everybody started thinking about home and mother. That's generally the way.
You told me at the stable that you wasn't coming.
I didn't intend to. I don't give a damn about Jace Landon, but I didn't want to have to tell the captain I stood back and let a mob kill a ranger, even an ignorant Comanche Indian.
The stubborn streak would not allow Andy to show his pleasure. He had taken too much abuse from Farley to grant him the satisfaction. He looked down the dark, empty street.
I don't understand why none of the Landon bunch was here. Looks like they'd have turned out to protect Jace.
That does strike me a little peculiar. Goes to show that both sides are crazy. I don't think they'll be coming back for a while. I want to do some Dutch talking to that jailer.
Andy was not surprised to find that the front door had been left unlocked.
I guess the jailer wanted to make it easy for them. All they had to do was walk in.
Inside, he locked and barred the door in case some of the Hopper people drank enough courage to come back. He didn't see the jailer. Farley walked through the door that led back to the cells.
Come here, Badger boy! This is a sight to tell your children about if you live long enough to have any.
Andy walked back and blinked in surprise. The jailer was handcuffed to the bars of a cell. The cell door was open. Jace was gone.
Now, ain't you a pretty sight? How'd you get yourself into this fix?
Jace has escaped.
Yeah, I figured that out for myself. What'd you do? Go to sleep on the job?
No such of a thing. Sheriff went to see about a fight. Soon as he was gone, Jace pulled a gun on me. Just a little derringer, but it could kill a man.
Farley gave Andy a speculative glance. Jace hadn't had a gun on him when the Rangers brought him into town. Andy didn't have to think about it long. He remembered how Jace's wife rushed up and hugged him. He would wager a month's pay that she stuck it inside his shirt during a moment of confusion. He chose not to mention it. The woman had misfortune enough just by being Jace's wife.
Are y'all gonna get me out of this mess?
We ain't got the key.
Look at the top desk drawer out yonder.
Andy rummaged around and found it.
I think Jace went out the back door. I heard a horse lope away. Some of his kin must have been waiting out there.
Freed, the jailer rubbed his wrist, raw from straining against the handcuff.
So now he's took to the Tooleys.
Oh, if the sheriff doesn't murder me, my kinfolks will.
I've got half a mind to do it myself. On account of you, me and Pickard made a long ride for nothing. And that mob out yonder could have killed us.
You gotta tell him it wasn't my fault.
Farley, might be a good idea if we left town. They're liable to think we had a hand in this.
Run away! Last time I ran from anybody, it was the state police. I swore I'd never run again. No, we'll stay and tell them how it was. Next time, maybe they'll hire better help.
Someone began beating against the front door. The jailer appeared about to pass out.
Oh, God, that's the judge. Judd Hopper.
Just as well let him in. But nobody else. This place could get crowded in a hurry.
Reluctantly, Andy slid back the bar and opened the door just enough for Judge Hopper to enter. Several men were with him, but Andy pushed the door shut and barred it before any of them could bully their way in. Judd Hopper was a tall, angular man with gray chin whiskers and angry eyes that cut to the quick.
What are you rangers doing here? Protecting the prisoner is the sheriff's responsibility.
I'm glad you said that. I think your jailkeeper has got a little news for you.
The jailer hung his head, his face gone from dead pale to deep, embarrassed red.
Jace is gone.
Gone?
The judge took long strides into the back room. His face reddened as he saw the open cell door and absorbed the full import of Landon's escape. He whirled around, jabbing an arthritic finger at Andy and Farley.
You all turned him loose. I'll send you both to the pen.
Farley gripped the jailer's wrist so hard the man nearly fainted from the pain.
Tell him the rest before I twist your arm off and beat you to death with it.
No, they didn't, Uncle Judd. Somehow he'd gotten a small pistol and held me up. Next thing I knowed, he had me handcuffed to the bars. I hollered, nobody heard me. Wasn't nothing I could do.
I wish he'd killed you. I guess you know you're fired. You'll be lucky if some of my nephews don't fray the hide off of you. How did he get a hold of a pistol?
We didn't make him take his boots off. Maybe he had it in one of them?
The judge slammed the cell door shut and then shook it in rage, gripping the bars tightly enough to turn his knuckles white.
I'll make somebody wish he was in the fires of hell instead of Hopper's Crossing.
Come on, Andy. I don't see nothing more for us to do here.
You're going to help us hunt him down, aren't you?
Ain't our fault y'all couldn't hold him. Our assignment was to deliver him to the sheriff. We done that, so now we're leaving.
Andy slid back the bar and opened the front door. As he and Farley left, a dozen Hopper partisans rushed in, bumping one another against the door in their haste. The two rangers eased on out into the night.
The judge is liable to tell them it was our fault. Anything to shift the blame, we better get away from here.
We ain't running. We're walking. We'll show this bunch we ain't afraid of nobody.
Maybe you're not, but I am.
Farley set a slow and deliberate pace toward the wagon yard. They didn't get far.
Oh, damn it!
Farley spun half around, grabbing his right side. A man stood in lamplight that spilled through the open jailhouse door. He held a pistol. Andy raised his rifle. The man went down, twisting in the dirt.
How bad are you hit?
I don't know. It hurts like almighty hell.
We better keep moving. They didn't get to kill Jace Lannon, and they're fired up to kill somebody.
Andy took Farley's left arm to give him support. At the wagon yard, he found the stableman standing in the open front doors, staring into the dark street.
Heard some shooting. What?
He gaped when Andy and Farley came into the lantern's light and he saw Farley's bloody shirt.
Saddle our horses for us and throw our pack on that mule. Be quick.
He helped Farley to a straight wooden chair and brought the lantern up for a close look. The bullet had struck high up and from behind.
Can you move your arm?
Farley raised it a little.
Could have busted some of your ribs. You're bleeding like a stuck hog.
Andy took out his handkerchief and pressed it against the wound.
Feel like you can sit in the saddle?
I don't see I got much choice. Them crazy hoppers be looking to finish the job.
The stableman brought their horses and the mule.
Is there a doctor in this town?
Well, there is, but you'll be needing an undertaker instead if you got yourselves in touch with them hoppers. Just go down the street about four buildings and turn left. First door on the right.
The stableman reluctantly helped Andy boost Farley into the saddle.
Oh!
Andy mounted up and led Farley's horse and the mule out of the yard. He found the doctor's house, but he saw that several of the Hopper people were already there. The doctor would be treating the man Farley had shot. The one Andy had shot would probably be brought along shortly.
We'd better not stop here.
Doctor may be one of them Hoppers anyway. Whole town seems to be infested with them.
afraid you'll have to tough it out for a while.
Oh, Badger boy, you're a damn Jonah. You get me killed yet.
Andy feared he might have to tie Farley to the saddle, but Farley hunched over the horn and stubbornly refused help. The horse's every step hurt him. They rode back down the road they'd come on for what Andy thought must have been 2 or 3 miles. He saw a lamplight in a window.
Farmhouse. Maybe they'll help us.
If they ain't hoppers.
Even if they are, maybe they don't know what happened in town. No need in us telling them.
Andy dismounted and strode up to a wooden porch and knocked on the door. The door opened and a woman stood there, a shotgun in her hand. A cold feeling came to Andy's stomach. He recognized Chase Landon's wife.
You're one of them rangers. What do you want here?
I've got a hurt man outside. He needs help.
She looked at Farley but offered no sympathy.
You all brought my husband back and turned him over to them hoppers? Now you've got the nerve to ask for my help?
Who is it, Flora?
An older man with gray whiskers came out carrying a pistol and squinted at Andy in the dim lamplight.
It's them rangers, Papa. By rights, we ought to shoot the both of them.
The bewhiskered old man poked the muzzle of his pistol toward Andy.
What have you got to say for yourself?
I need help for my partner. He's been shot.
By who?
By one of the hoppers.
The pair's hostility began to fade. The old man gave Andy a measuring look.
Thought you was in league with him, fetching Jace in like he done.
That was our job. But afterwards, we stood guard on the jail to keep a mob from busting in. We didn't know Jace had already broke out, but I'll bet you knew it.
We ain't owning up to nothing. But if you're looking to catch Jace, you better have some damned fast horses. He left town on the best runner in the county.
Right now, I'm just interested in getting help for Farley Brackett.
Brackett, you say? Is he the one who gave them state police so much hell during the Yankee occupation?
He's the one.
Lord almighty. Bring him on in here, boy. We'll see what we can do for him.
The woman still seemed reluctant, but she deferred to her father's judgment. Andy helped Farley out of the saddle and up the step.
Any enemy of the hoppers is a friend of ours.
I ain't the enemy, and I ain't your friend.
He's probably half out of his head. Set him in that chair. Let's see how bad he's hurt.
They took off Farley's blood-soaked shirt, then peeled his long underwear down to his waist. Flora Landon held a lamp close and examined the wound, probing with her fingers while Farley ground his teeth. Andy got his first good look at her face. He thought her handsome, at least for a middle-aged woman. He figured her to be about 30.
Looks to me like the bullet glanced off the ribs. Gouged a pretty good hole coming and going, but it's a long ways from the heart, if he's got one.
Farley winced against the pain. His face was pale.
Ain't the first hole I ever had shot in me.
You get blood poisoning, it may be your last. Grit your teeth, because this is fixing to burn like the hinges of hell's front door.
She washed the wound with whiskey. Andy thought for a moment that Farley might faint.
We'll bind them ribs good and tight.
A broken rib is liable to punch a hole in his lung and kill him deader than a skint mule. Be better if he didn't ride horseback for a while.
The woman studied Farley with her first hint of sympathy.
I don't see where he's got a choice. Right now, them hoppers are probably searching all over Jace's and my farm. When they get through there, they'll be coming here. I don't think you rangers will want to be around.
I was wondering if you folks have got a wagon I could borrow.
Flora looked questioningly at her father. He nodded.
This man faced up to the hoppers and led them scalawag state police on a merry chase. You bet he can have my wagon. Come on, boy. Help me catch up my team.
Papa Landon opened the front door and stopped abruptly.
Daughter, you better come and look.
Andy saw flames in the distance. He couldn't guess how far away they were.
They're burning down our house. Mine and Jace's.
This place will be next.
Sounds like they're already here.
Be damned if they're gonna burn my papa's house.
She reached inside the door and grabbed her shotgun. The old man's bony hand pushed the shotgun muzzle down.
Oh, this house ain't nothing but lumber and nails. I can build a new one. But the Lord himself can't build a new me or you.
It's too late to run. You all get back inside and blow out the lamp. I'll talk to them.
I doubt as they're in a listening frame of mind.
They'll listen to me or they'll answer to the state of Texas.
He stepped out to where he had tied his and Farley's horses. He lifted his rifle from its scabbard and got Farley's as an afterthought. He stood in the moonlight on the edge of the porch, his own rifle in his hand and Farley's leaning where he could reach it without much of a stretch. He counted 7 horsemen, an 8th followed behind. The deputy, Biggin, was in front as the riders came to a stop. He recognized Andy.
Well, you Rangers again. Seems like you're everywhere.
We try to be where we're needed.
You know who we're after.
Jace Landon isn't here. I can vouch for that.
You Rangers have stepped way over the line. You helped a fugitive get away.
He didn't escape from us. We delivered him like we were ordered to. He was the sheriff's prisoner. It was the sheriff's responsibility to see that he didn't bust out.
I expect that woman of his knows where he's at. This is her daddy's house, and I'm betting she's in there.
Flora came out onto the porch, shotgun in hand. Andy started to tell her to go back inside, but he knew she wouldn't heed him. She looked like a woman who would charge a bear with a willow switch.
I'm here, Biggin Hopper, and here I'm staying. It don't take much of a man to burn my house down, but it'll take a better man than you to run me out of this county. You or any of your other lime-bred Tennessee Ridge Runner kin.
If we ever find out you helped Jace get away, you wouldn't be the first woman ever hung in Texas.
Andy shifted his rifle to point at Biggin.
There'll be no more talk about hanging, especially of a woman. You'd better back away if you don't want the whole Ranger force swarming this county like a nest of hornets.
It ain't the Ranger's business to take sides in a local affair.
It is when it comes to killing.
Flora Landon, I'm placing you under arrest for aiding and abetting. You come down here.
You come up here and get me if you don't mind a load of buckshot in your belly.
For a minute, Andy was not sure which way the pendulum would swing. Biggin seemed to weigh his chances, and anger appeared stronger than caution. Farley Brackett walked out to join Andy and the woman on the porch. He held his arm tightly against his ribs, but in his hand was a pistol. He said nothing. He let his eyes deliver his threat. Looking at Farley, the deputy took fresh stock of his situation.
Something about you seems familiar to me, but I don't recollect that I heard your name.
I'm Farley Brackett.
From down in Colorado County? Somebody told me you was dead.
I ain't heard about it.
And I'm Andy Pickard. You've got no grounds to arrest Mr. Landon. You're trespassing here on her daddy's place. You best be moving on or you're bidding fair to see inside one of your own cells.
You Rangers won't be staying. We can wait till you're gone.
He pulled his horse around and started back in the direction of town. The other men followed. Flora looked at Farley.
Biggin almost lost his breath when he heard your name. You must have left some deep tracks.
Farley started to shrug, but pain stopped it. His face pinched.
Would you shot him in the belly?
I don't say anything I don't mean.
Even in the darkness and moonlight, Andy could see the admiration in Farley's eyes, but he doubted anyone else would notice. Papa Landon came out and looked after the departing posse.
Well, they're gone.
For now, but the Hopper Bunch has got killing on their minds. It would be smart if you folks left here for a while.
True enough. Daughter, get your stuff together and we'll go with these Rangers.
But Papa!
There ain't no shame in running when it's the only way out. Jace has done it. At least we'll live to hit them Hoppers another day.
Where's Jace running to?
If I was to tell you that, you'd go after him.
We would if it was our orders.
Jace ain't an easy man to warm up to, but he's the only son-in-law I've got. That's why I ain't telling you. Let's get that team hitched up. I don't fancy being around to entertain that bunch when they swallow a little more panther juice and come back.
Andy didn't ask at first where Flora Landon and her father wanted to go. He simply turned the team away from the direction of town and the fire still burning in the distance. He and Flora sat on the wagon seat. Farley lay on blankets in the bed of the wagon. Flora's father rode Andy's horse. Farley's was tied on behind, trailed by the little pack mule. They traveled a couple of miles in silence, though Andy stopped the wagon several times to listen for sounds of pursuit. He saw a new fire and knew the house they had left was burning. The old man shook his head.
I'll build it back, and I'll bury a couple of hoppers in the backyard for good luck.
You all got kinfolks you'd like to go to?
Not till things die down some. We bring more trouble on them, and they've got trouble enough just being Landon's and kin. Where are you heading?
Colorado County. Some folks that will take care of Farley.
Mind taking us with you? Papa and me need to be scarce for a while.
What about your husband? He won't know where you're at.
We'll come back when the hoppers ain't looking. They'll find out that their houses can burn just as easy as ours did.
Farley shifted in the bed of the wagon, unable to get comfortable, his eyes taking on the gleam of fever.
Where are we going?
You'll see.
He feared that a better answer would touch off an argument. As they rode through the night, Flora occasionally checked the bandage as Farley drifted in and out of sleep. As the sun started to rise, Andy could see the Brackett farm. He couldn't help but think of the terrible night when Reconstruction State Police had shot up the house in the mistaken belief that Farley was there. They killed Farley's father, Jeremiah, and wounded his mother. Ironically, Farley was miles away at the time. Lying in the wagon, Farley was unaware of Andy's destination until they were within 100 yards of the house. He pulled himself up to look over the sideboards. The sight of the place jarred him out of his dreamy state.
Damn you, Badger boy! I didn't want to come here.
You need looking after. You'll do it better than your mother and sister.
They won't want to see me.
Farley made a feeble try at getting up, but he hurt too much to do it on his own.
I'll whoop you, boy, as soon as I get my strength back.
You can try. Right now you couldn't whip a sick kitten.
Hello, the house!
A young woman stepped out onto the porch and gave Andy a surprised look.
Andy?
I've got Farley here, Bethel. He's hurt.
She hurried toward the wagon. Bethel gave Flora and the old man only a glance. She looked anxiously over the wagon's sideboards.
What happened to him?
He's been shot.
He's lost a right smart of blood.
Elnora Brackett came onto the porch. Farley's mother watched anxiously as Andy and Flora helped Farley climb out of the wagon and walk to the steps. Color drained from her face.
Bring him in. We'll put him in his own bed.
This was a large house in comparison to most Andy knew. Jeremiah Brackett had been a prosperous farmer before the war and before confiscatory reconstruction taxes had stolen much of his property. Elnora led the way into a Spartan room devoid of furniture except for a bed and a chair. Farley had not spent much time in this house after going off to war and later coming home to the desperate life of a fugitive, defying the occupation authorities. They helped him into the bed carefully.
Ooh, that bandage is soaked. It needs changing.
She held her son's hand as Andy cut through the bloodied cloth.
Is Farley in trouble again?
No, ma'am. He got this in the line of duty. I brought Farley here because I thought his family would take better care of him than anybody.
Bethel touched Andy's arm and handed him some clean cloths.
You did the right thing.
Now, he didn't want to come. He thinks you all still hold it against him for his daddy getting killed.
We got over that a long time ago.
We have. He's the only son I have left. He should know we'd stand by him.
That's what I told him. Maybe he'll believe it coming from you.
Andy doubted Farley was in any condition to follow the conversation. His eyes were vacant, staring at nothing. The wound looked angry around the edges. Elnora gratefully took the bottle of whiskey Flora handed her and cleansed the opening and replaced the bandage with help from Bethel. Papa Landon arrived at the doorway and glanced at Andy.
Here, the horses and mule are all taken care of. The lady's farmhands put him in the barn.
Thank you, Mr. Landon. Mrs. Brackett, this is Mr. Landon and his daughter, Flora. They helped us after Farley was shot, even though me and Farley had to take in Flora's husband for breaking the law.
Thank you for all your help. You're welcome to stay here as long as you want to.
Oh, it won't be long. Soon as I think them hoppers are looking the other way.
I'll go over to town and fetch the doctor. We don't want to take any chances with Farley.
Bethel will fix you something to eat before you go. Maybe we can get Farley to take some broth.
I surely will. Come on down to the kitchen, Andy.
In the interest of time, Andy settled for warming up some beans and smearing a heavy load of butter on cold biscuits. He was aware of Bethel's eyes. She stared at him while he ate. She put her stirring spoon down and joined him at the table.
You quit coming around to see me.
I've been tied up with the Rangers.
Before that, though, I hope I didn't say or do anything.
Oh, you didn't. No, I just got real busy. Anyway, it seemed to me that you were having company enough without me. And I had a notion that I reminded you of the night the state police came.
I would remember that anyway, with or without you. I kept hoping you'd come around. You will come back, won't you? With the doctor.
Yes, I'll want to see what he thinks about Farley and how long he'll be laid up. Then I'll visit with Rusty before I report back to the captain.
Andy, if what happened to my brother is any measure of life with the Rangers, I don't want to see either one of you go back.
She rested her fingers on his hand and did not pull away.
It's a pretty good life most of the time. There's more boredom than excitement. The food's good when we're not out on patrol.
The pay isn't much, is it?
I don't need much. They feed me. Rusty Shannon never let me pick up any wasteful habits.
Maybe you could use some. Maybe you could come and see a girl once in a while.
You mean that?
If I say it, I mean it.
He had heard that statement from Farley several times. Farley and his sister might not look alike, but they thought alike in some ways. Andy glanced out the window at the bright morning.
Well, looks like y'all have had a good rain.
A storm passed through here a few days ago. All we got was rain, but your friend Rusty caught a terrible hail. It just about wiped him out.
After getting the doctor over to the Bracketts, Andy headed for Rusty's farm. He was not prepared for the ruin that had been Rusty's field. The maturing crop of corn had been battered into nothing more than stalks, standing bare and broken. Leaves and half-developed ears were pounded into the muddy ground. The devastation was complete. Approaching the cabin, he saw that its roof was newly shingled, as was the roof of a smaller cabin Rusty had built for Andy when he had expected to bring Josie Monahan home as a bride. Several chickens pecked about the yard. Some had lost many of their feathers. Patches of bare skin showed through. Andy reined his horse toward the shed where Rusty kept his farming implements and tools. Rusty stepped out into the open, leather harness in his hand. Recognizing Andy, he forced a smile, though Andy knew smiling must come hard to him these days.
Hey, Rusty.
Hey, Andy. I'll put this stuff away, then we'll go up to the house.
Rusty went into the shed, emerging without the harness. The smile was gone. He looked haggard.
Tom Blessing told me you'd be coming. I suppose you got your prisoner delivered.
Rusty had always stood tall and straight. Now his shoulders sagged.
For what it was worth. Rusty, looks like you had a buffalo stampede.
You can put up a fight against most things that come at you. You can whip down a fire or dam up against a flood. But a storm like this, all you can do is hunker down and watch it happen.
I see you got new roofs.
Neighbors. Had anything to eat?
Ate at the Bracketts.
I'm glad you went to see that Bethel girl. She's been asking about you.
It wasn't on account of her. We delivered Jace Landon to Hopper's Crossing to be tried for murder. The Hopper clan was going to kill him in the jail, but he'd already escaped. Me and Farley didn't know that when we warned the Hoppers off. One of them got mad and shot Farley. He's at his family's place now. Doc's looking at him.
Farley always did draw lightning.
He's got his ma and his sister watching out for him now. I think he'll be all right. I hope so, anyway.
Lots of young men around here think Bethel Brackett is the best-looking thing in 100 miles.
She looks all right.
Just all right.
Why don't you pay court to her yourself?
You know the luck I've had when it comes to women.
Damn, I'm sorry. I didn't mean that.
No matter. I've halfway come to accept things like they are. I didn't need that hailstorm, though.
Rusty turned away, but not before Andy saw grief rekindled in his eyes.
Ever hear anything from Josie's sister? Alice?
Not directly. Got a letter from her mother. Clemmy said the boy Billy keeps asking about you.
Nothing from Alice herself?
I've got no reason to expect anything. There's nothing between us. Never was.
What are you gonna do, Rusty? You've lost the year's work. It's too late in the summer to replant your field.
I've got meat in the smokehouse and hogs running loose on the river. I won't starve.
You're not one for sitting around idle.
There's always work to do if I feel like looking for it. But lately I've been asking myself what's the use.
How about getting away from this place for a while? Come back to camp with me. You could sign up with the Rangers for 3 months or 6 months, however long you want to. The captain said he'd be tickled to have you.
I don't know. Rangering is for young men like you.
There's older men than you in the force. Len Tanner's about your age. The Morris boys ain't far behind.
I'll admit it'd be good to ride with them again. Thing is, I'm getting to where night comes, I want a real bed, not a blanket on the hard ground.
Rusty was thin and drawn. Andy wondered how many meals he'd cooked, then not eaten.
I always thought you enjoyed your time with the Rangers.
I did, even with the long trips and the days I didn't eat. There's a lot of satisfaction riding with a bunch of men you like and respect.
Then come along with me. I guarantee the captain will be pleased to see you.
I'll admit I'm a little tempted.
It might do you good to see some fresh country. This farm could pretty well take care of itself from now till spring planting.
I could turn the milk cow and her calf out together. I could take the chickens over to Shanty so the coyotes don't get them.
Andy smiled at Rusty. Perhaps later, when more healing time had passed, Andy could talk Rusty into traveling up north to visit the Monahans. If he spent time close to Alice, he might finally see what everybody around him already knew. Bethel Brackett stood on the porch watching as Andy and Rusty dismounted in front of her house. She looked first at Rusty, then at Andy.
Well, hello, Rusty. Andy, the doc says Farley needs more rest for healing. How long do you think y'all can stay?
Oh, it's time I reported for duty. Just came to see about Farley so I'll know what to tell the captain.
He caught a moment's disappointed look before she hit it.
Well, I was hoping you'd stay longer. Farley's stubborn and hard to get along with, but he always was. He's raising a ruckus about wanting to go back to camp.
Well, he can't be ready yet.
No, but he thinks he is. Nothing counts with him except what he thinks.
What about Flora Landon and her daddy?
They're still here. Farley actually smiles when Flora comes into his room. I think he's a little taken with her.
Reckon they know where Jace is at.
I make it a point not to ask questions. If anybody comes around hunting for information, I won't have to lie to them. Y'all are not too much in a hurry to stay and eat dinner with us, are you?
We'd be much obliged.
Might as well go on up and visit Farley while you wait.
Farley lay on his bed, atop the covers. Pale, unshaven, he was fully dressed, even to his boots. His shirt was only partially buttoned because of a bulky bandage wrapped around his ribs. He glanced at the visitors, either a half-hearted greeting or a dismissal. He had always lacked confidence in Andy, and he had only a strained tolerance for Rusty. Both had gotten in his way more than once.
I hope you're ready to ride, Rusty, because I sure am. I might just beat you back to camp.
You wouldn't get 10 miles from home before you fell off of your horse. You'd lie there and bleed to death.
I got hurt worse than this in a skirmish with the Yankees and still rode 30 miles before dark.
Farley, I hear you and Andy turned back a mob.
It was a damn fool thing to do, seeing as the man they was after had already lit out.
You didn't know that at the time.
This badger boy of yours was all set to try it by himself. When he takes it in his head to do something, you can beat it out of him with a club.
I've got no quarrel with that.
Fool kid could have got us both killed. And look what happened to me. I deserve it for taking pity on him.
You got it for doing the right thing.
That Jace Landon is a knot-headed idiot. The only reason I'd give a damn what happens to him is he got a wife who ought to have done better for herself. And a good-hearted daddy-in-law. You know he's out in the field right now working like a hired hand? And her with him.
Farley tried to get out of bed but couldn't sit up. Andy shook his head.
I'll bring you up some grub.
I'm damn tired of taking my meals in bed like a baby.
Farley stared at the window and offered no more conversation. After a moment, Andy and Rusty left. Flora Landon and her father came in for dinner. After the meal, Andy noticed that the first thing she did was go to Farley's room to see about him. She came back shortly, grinning.
Phew! I thought Jace knew every cuss word in the language, but I believe Farley could teach him some. Ooh, when he finally gets up, he's liable to drag that bed outside and burn it.
Andy, seen any more of Sheriff Truscott or Biggin?
No, Mr. Lennon, but I ain't been looking for them.
Watch out. They're liable to come looking for you.
Andy nodded and felt reluctant to leave. For one thing, visiting with Bethel and her mother seemed to have brought some life back into Rusty's eyes. But duty's call was loud. Andy turned to Rusty.
It's a long way to the San Saba.
Saddle my horse for me. I'm going too.
Farley knows he can't. It just gets under his skin to have to depend on other people. You all take care now. Elnora, Bethel, Mr. Landon, Flora.
Andy nodded his agreement to Rusty's farewell, and the two men walked out of the house. Bethel followed them out onto the porch.
Write me a letter once in a while. Let a body know you're still among the living?
I'm not much of a hand with pencil and paper, but I'll try.
I'll see that he does.
The two men nodded to Bethel, walked to their horses, and mounted up, setting off together. Andy looked back. Bethel remained on the porch, watching them.
One word from you, and she would follow you anywhere.
Go ranger camp? What could she do there?
You won't stay with the rangers all your life. Nobody does.
I'm tempted to go back up the river and see if there's any news about Jace. Dick Landon would want to know about his brother.
I've heard stories about the Hoppers and the Landons, especially the Hoppers. I'd as soon see you stick your head into a rattlesnake den.
I wish there was something we could do about that double-dealing Biggin.
Time has a way of paying off his kind of people. Chances are that some Landon will clean his plow or he'll get caught dipping his hands into the county treasury.
I hate to ride away and leave things hanging.
If trouble is looking for you, it'll find you without you hunting it. Let the Landons and the Hoppers fight it out amongst themselves.
They rode on out, each occupied with his own thoughts.